This is the English translation of the sermon delivered by Senior Pastor Hon on November 13, 2022. The title of the sermon is Bringing Little Children to Jesus for Him to Place His Hands on Them. The scripture passage is from Book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Let us read the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Verse 13, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Today, in the second morning service, we are going to have an infant blessing ceremony. So, I'd like us to think about blessing children today. Regarding the word blessing, there is a difference between what we associate with the word blessing in general terms and what the Bible teaches us. Of course, there are some overlaps between what we generally think of as blessings and what the Bible calls blessings. To be protected from accidents or disasters, to be healed from illness, to be materially and economically prosperous, to pass exams, to open up a window of opportunity that was previously closed, and so on. The Bible uses the word, a blessing, to express hopes and desires that make us think, "Oh, I wish it were like this." But the Bible also teaches us that those are not the essence of blessing. As we saw in Philippians chapter 4 of the scripture last week at the memorial service for the deceased, receiving something that can become the foundation make you satisfied even if you are poor or needy, even if you are in a dead end, or if you are rich. The Bible ultimately calls this a blessing. Then, what is the basis for that blessing? Let us read the words from chapter 10 of Book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus said, only people like these children can accept the kingdom of God and can enter the kingdom of God. And he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on them and blessed them. Here, through the actions Jesus took towards the children, he placed the kingdom of God and blessings on an equal term. In other words, accepting the kingdom of God, entering the kingdom of God, is a blessing and a basis for contentment in any circumstances. Jesus blessed the children so that they could accept the kingdom of God, which is the essence of this blessing. Naturally, Jesus knew better than anyone what was most important to children. It is God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is the most important thing for children. The blessing of the kingdom of God is the most important thing for children. But disciples didn't seem to understand that. They were telling children as if, for the kingdom of God, you wait until you become an adult. Before you know about the kingdom of God, there are still many things you need to do and know. I don't know if they thought it was too early for the children to try to know God's kingdom. Disciples refused to take the children to Jesus. They were angry, and they even hindered the children from approaching Jesus, as if they thought the children did not deserve to be there. They even got in the way. Those who self-identify as Jesus' disciple, as if they were Satan's minions, even interfere with children from coming to Jesus and receiving the blessings of the kingdom of God. Disciples would have thought, no, before children can know about Jesus, the church, or the Bible, they should study, exercise, pass exams, get a job, have a family, and after that, they'll be there in time, so no hurry. Or, in another word, it's not too late to become more interested in spiritual things even after becoming more intelligent. Acquire more general knowledge and common sense before you become interested in spiritual things. But Jesus says to those who think like that in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The minimum thing that we adults can do or must do for children is not to deprive them of their opportunity to come to Jesus, nor to hinder them. This is because going to Jesus and accepting the kingdom of God is a unique blessing not only for adults but also for children. If you wish for the blessings of your children, you must definitely bring them to Jesus and be held in Jesus' bosom. Without through Jesus, we would not be able to accept or enter the kingdom of God, which is the basis of our blessings, and we cannot be satisfied. And no matter what we do, we feel anxious, dissatisfied, empty, and we cannot be happy from the bottom of our hearts. A life with faith that you can enter the kingdom of God will be a blessing. Even if you have an accident or disaster, even if you are sick or not on the path you envisioned. On the other hand, even if you don't meet a big accident or disaster, you don't suffer from a serious illness, or if you can live unexpectedly the life you imagined, if the life is not accompanied by the blessing of the kingdom of God, it cannot be said that it is a blessed life. If you look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, in order to make this clear, Jesus tells the story of two extremes with a sharp final contrast. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." So even if I have got this or that, even if I ate this or that, even if I went this place or that place, even if I met people like these or those, even if I lived in this place or that place, even if I do not have faith that it will lead to the kingdom of God, it cannot be the final or ultimate blessing. Jesus is really serious. He seriously talks about the seriousness of accepting and not accepting the blessing of the kingdom of God. It is never too early to enter into this blessing of the kingdom of God. It does not necessarily mean that the sooner the better, but it's never too early. I'm sure that all of you have learned about Francisco Xavier, who brought Christianity to Japan for the first time in your Japanese history class. He left a very famous word. He said, "Leave it to me until the child turns 7 years old. After that, do what you want with the child." Based on this word, many churches around the world have come to operate kindergartens. And I have tried to make children embrace the kingdom of God in their hearts. And that is why Megumi Church has Mana Aijin, and Tsuchiura, and also the Tsuchiura's Catholic Church has a kindergarten as well. Originally, the duty of kindergarten is not to give children the education decided by adults or to give them special education, but to plant the kingdom of God in their hearts. If one holds the kingdom of God in his heart, the rest will follow naturally. Lenin, who created the world's first socialist regime in Russia by interpreting, using, or abusing this word like word of Xavier's, said, "Leave your children up to 4 years old with me, then the seeds I plant in them will never be uprooted in their lifetimes." In Japanese, there is a phrase, Mitsugo no tamashi hyakumade, and I believe that we must seriously consider the true meaning and religious implication of this phrase. Ever since I was born, I didn't have any adults around me who would take me to Jesus to touch me as a child. I lived like that until I was 20 years old. As a result of being raised in such a situation, my goal in life was to become rich and to become attractive to women. I thought that fulfilling these two things would make my life happy and enjoyable. Other than that, I did not have a purpose in life or a goal of my life apart from them at that time. Of course, I do not want to talk about boring things like that, that being rich or being popular with the opposite sex is a bad thing. I thought that was everything in this world at that time, and I was a secular person that I did not have any spiritual view to see how wonderful the world created by God is. Also, if it had ended there, it would have been a biggest loss and consequences in my life without knowing or appreciating the essence of blessings, a real catastrophe and consequence in life. I remember that. Even now, I can think back to how I felt at that time. Even when I was hard practicing for kendo clubs or doing tough muscle exercises for footballs, I always thought this is to attract girls. Also, having expensive things that other people do not own, having been to foreign countries that other people have never been to, knowing famous people, and so on. I think I was thinking that those would make myself valuable. In this world, we are continuously taught what makes us happy, or our life rich, or makes us prosperous, are those that are like truth but not. Like success that is not success. Like life that is not life. Like love that is not love. Like freedom that is not freedom. Laughter that is not laughter. Like peace that is not peace. Like God that is not God. The world continues to teach that to us. When we stand before them, our hearts are shaken, we are tempted, we are fascinated by them, and their power is so great that we fall into illusion that these idols really gives us life and prosperity. We are broken, and we are placed in such a broken world. I felt suffocated because of a God-like God in place of the only true God. And the liberation from that is the kingdom of God and the blessing of the kingdom of God. As people who know the blessing, we are entrusted by God with the mission of telling children as soon as possible and letting them know about it. The English word bless comes from the word bleed, which means to shed blood. The word blessing comes from to shed blood, to sanctify the altar with the blood of the sacrifice offered to it. In other words, the blessing must be accompanied by the act of bleeding. In other words, to interpret this biblically, the blessing is based on the redemption of the cross of Jesus Christ, who came to this world as the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world with his blood. Linguistically, it is possible to understand that there is a blessing in the blood of Christ, and that it is a blessing to come to Christ and receive the kingdom of God. That is why, if we want our children to be blessed, we must bring them to Jesus. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the truth. So how do you bring your children to Jesus? Of course, bringing them to church is also an important means. But more important than that is to bring the children before the Word of God. Let us read the Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The most important place to bring children to Jesus is at home, and it is the parents or adults who are entrusted with that secret responsibility by the Lord. The precious work of bringing children to Jesus is by the family before it is by the church. Of course, that does not mean we do not need churches or the church Sunday schools. Rather, churches and Sunday schools are even more necessary as co-workers who lead children to the blessing. Then, what kind of tools will lead children to the blessing of the kingdom of God? The heart that loves Jesus as an adult, the heart that loves children, and the heart that loves the Word of God. At the beginning of the service, we sang hymn number 353, There are noble and pure letters in the world, and it is my favorite hymn ever since I was a seminary student. But as I said earlier, I was not born or raised in a Christian home, so I never had such an experience as in the lyric of this hymn, sitting on my mother's lap, listening to the Bible story she was reading, having those Bible stories being engraved in my heart, or having a burning sensation in my heart by seeing my mother's well-worn Bible. However, ever since I sang this hymn for the first time when I was a seminary student, every time I sing it, I feel like I have such warm memories and the memories of gratitude. When I sing this hymn, I am reminded of the content of the book I read before. It's a story about the debate among the theologians. One theologian said, "A Japanese translation of Shinkaiyaku Bible is the best." And another theologian says, no, Kyodo translation is wonderful because it is translated faithfully to the original language. Then another theologian says, no, what are you talking about? The Living Bible is the easiest to understand and read. Discussions and arguments went on and on. Then the other theologian, who was silently listening to their arguments, smiled and said, "I think the Bible story my mother told me is the best." The tools for preaching the love of Jesus, the kingdom of God, and the blessings of God to children are the words of the Bible, but they cannot be tools with just the words of the Bible. The Word of God, the word of the Bible translated by the lives of their parents, teachers, and adults will be the most powerful tool for conveying the most important things to children. Engraved in our hearts, becoming ours, becoming our flesh and blood, heartfelt, moving, and personified within us Such words of God is a tool. That is why verse 7 in Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." This is the word of God, the word of Scripture, personally imprinted in us. For about a year and a half at Megumi Church's Sunday school, under the guidance of the education director, Him-chan, we have been holding a Bible reading class with children once a month using Zoom. The children have read Mark's Gospel, the book of Esther, and now they are reading a book of Acts. My second and third sons are participating in this Bible reading class, but when we first started, there was a big conflict among the children. It's because 7 p.m. on Fridays, when the Bible reading is held, is the time when Pocket Monster is aired on TV. And before that, from 6:30 to 7 p.m., it's Yokai Watch time. From the children's point of view, it's once a week prime time. But when we started the Bible reading, it was more fun than Pokemon or Yokai Watch, and naturally they did not say they wanted to watch Pokemon or Yokai Watch. They no longer wanted to see it naturally. But they do watch them on YouTube sometimes. I'm very happy and grateful that the pastoral staff members, teachers, and families of this church are working together to plant the love of God, the kingdom of God, and the blessings of the Lord Jesus in the hearts of our children. I can only thank the Lord God for guiding us to practice in modern Japan and in this Megumi Church the behavior of the adults who brought children to be touched by Jesus in today's Bible passage of Mark's Gospel. I'm looking forward to seeing what wonderful fruits the children who have been touched by Jesus will bear. Finally, I would like us to read a passage from the second John, the second letter by John, verse 4. "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us." Read it again. "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us." I cannot help but pray that all the children who are in Megumi Church and who are connected to the Megumi Church will become children who walk in the truth. And I would like to work together with you while seeking guidance from God. Let us pray.